This is Corolla Digital.
A master carpenter who's here to help you out. If you can't fix it, then let A show you how.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice. Welcome to Ace on the House. Ace on the Roof. Pop Scroll. Hey, it's Stromer.
I love that you don't even have to say it because people know it.
I am working it, man.
Yes, sir.
I am working
it. How you doing?
Oh, man. Dutchman City.
Yeah.
I was putting in the Dutchman on the I've been doing some door stuff.
Yes. Hot door action.
Hot door action. I like it. So I got the new house. I'm working on the new house.
All right. So just give me a quick update, because the last time I saw you, you had just gotten into, you were, you know, getting into windows, and you were doing the terrazzo, and you were doing the all the normal things you do in the
old
kitchen.
House.
Yeah.
Then new house. New house is a very nice, big, beautiful, expensive house where they made a lot of decisions that weren't right.
Yeah.
And so I've been removing some returning walls, and I've been that a lot of pocket doors that need to be pocket doors. Just sort of bad planning, bad layout, bad whatever. The master bedroom was fairly small for a big house.
Yeah, it's not suitable for Mrs. Carroll. She needs a little more room.
No. So what I did is they had a little nursery attached to it.
Yeah.
And I won't need that until the second marriage. So I won't be in that house. So I blew the wall out and moved the door and replaced the door.
Yes.
And jogged everything around and made the master suite into sort of a master suite.
Ooh.
But when you do that, you have to patch in the hardwood floor and lace that in. And I was just down swinging a door. There's a movie theater on the first floor, and I was like swinging the door, and I got the door and taking the old jam. I love retrofitting a door to like a different jam.
Right.
I love doing the mortise. I love getting the little hand. If you get a router.
Yeah.
Use the little hand ones. They're a lot easier when you're doing like little finish work, especially.
Sure.
They fit in your hand. They don't jerk around. They're not that torquey.
Right.
They're not as loud. And you don't need anything. Just a nice straight bit on it, going down an eighth of an inch, messing with a mortise. So I'm doing that. Upstairs bedroom, I did a whole bunch of these mortises, these Dutchmen, where I patched in the mortise where the existing hinges were, and I just cut those things dead nuts on and just glued them up and snapped them into place.
You,
and it felt good.
You do it, don't you? You do chicken right.
I do chicken right. I do finish right. I'm good at layout. I'm good at
finish. What would you say your strongest suit in the craft world would be? Would it be the doors? Would it be that fine finish kind of thing? Or are you more of a guy that just likes to rip things apart? Or what is it?
I don't like the mess anymore. I'm pretty good at framing because I do approach the framing like finish.
Yeah.
Like I try to get everything dead nuts on.
Sure.
And might as well just approach your rough framing like you're doing finish work, because you'll be happier when it comes time to set the jam.
Right.
Because everything's plumb and level and you've left the right margins and so on and so forth. I like setting a door. Like, I like swinging a door. You know, I had some old jams. We took them apart. I'm going to remortise them. We took the doorstop off. We got to flip it over. We got to, like, replace it.
Right.
I like retrofitting it, like making, like, an engine swap in a car, like making this engine work in this car.
Oh, yeah.
And it didn't come with that engine.
Sure, yeah.
So I was over there this morning.
Yeah.
I don't really have Finnish guys that work for me. I
no.
have like painter guys
right.
and then Rob. So I have to go over there and kind of like run around and sort of line him out. So I'm doing a rough opening. And
wait, is Rob the guy that didn't understand about the saw blade going the right direction?
He may have been.
Yeah.
It's like smoke pouring out. It just literally all it did was make contact with the floor and smoke was billowing out of it. Yeah. Rob has...
I have a Rob in my life. Yeah.
You know what's weird? I cannot figure out. I use the word weird a lot. I really don't mean weird. Yeah. I mean wildly unsatisfying and devastatingly disappointing, which is they had... All right, Gary can get my phone, take one of the last pictures I took. You can see some Dutchman action in there, but you can also see what I found when I got to the house last night. I show up at the house and I walk around at night and try to figure out what I want to do next.
But you guys aren't, you're not in yet. You haven't moved in. It's still in construction.
No, still working on it.
All right.
TommyJohn.com/Adam, Geico.com, and Craftsman Tools at Lowe's. I'll tell you about that in a second. I want to thank our sponsors. I had this thought. It's my flip cap on the toothpaste thought.
Okay.
Kind of interesting. I wonder if Tom's of Maine. I use Tom's of Maine. I like the products. I like the deodorant. I like the toothpaste and everything like that. It confuses me when adults use like Crest, Triple Gel Explosion. There's a strawberry strip. That's for whitening. Then there's a mango strip. That removes tartar. It's like, how the fuck old are you again? Why don't you just get some regular toothpaste? But sorry. I have a theory in life, which is people used to leave the cap off of the toothpaste.
Uh-huh.
And they used to leave the cap like off of the ketchup bottle and stuff. And then at some point, somebody just invented a flip cap.
Genius.
And they went, problem solved.
Right.
This will never happen again.
Right.
And then you see the toothpaste with the cap just flipped up, just sitting on the countertop. And you're like, really?
Yeah, that's it.
Or you open the refrigerator and you see the ketchup with the top flipped up.
That's right.
Like somebody outside of the refrigerator. Nobody burrowed into the refrigerator and went, don't open the door, the light will come on, I got to get some ketchup. They took the goddamn ketchup out of the refrigerator, they put it on their french fries, and then they put it back in the refrigerator,
and they never snapped
the lid down. So wood filler, I will tell Gary and Matt this, wood filler used to come in these little punk size cans, like half pint cans.
And terrible.
They were terrible. And they were also lacquer based. Remember?
And they would dry immediately upon
opening.
Because
they were lacquer based.
That's right.
And you'd have to open them like a paint can. Like it'd have the metal paint can. And it, like, you know, pry it open. It had a little cap on. It's like a little punky thing. And you'd open it up and it would bend a little bit when you're opening. So when you try to put it back on, one side would kind of like pop up a little and whatever. And it was lacquer based.
You get one use out of the can.
The stuff would go bad. Yeah. And now some guys were really diligent. They'd kind of wipe the thing around and they'd flatten the cap out. And they'd tap it with the butt of the hammer, tap, 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 and they'd get it all. But you could see where there was some room for error there. Well, then some genius said, hey, why don't we just do it like a squeeze tube and put a big, broad, knurled cap on it, and then no more drying out.
Right.
No, you just put the cap on, you twist the cap on, and that'll be done. When I walked into the house, I said, Rob had been using the wood filler. It's got the squeeze top, so it's sort of like toothpaste, and then the top's just a big, bold, black cap. He had it kind of stuck in, but he didn't really twist and put it on.
It's another wah, wah.
I've had so many discussions about caulking tubes and putting the tape over the end and sealing the stuff back on. Yeah. Now, I never knew that I would have to have one discussion because whoever just used whatever would just put the cap back on.
Right.
But evidently, this is a scourge that is plaguing society. And it happens in half of the kitchens and half of the company kitchens and half of the, you know, ketchup containers. The real question is this. Does this, what percentage in the company kitchen with the flip cap on the mayo squeeze or the flip cap on the ketchup squeeze or even relish now, whatever, on the company kitchen, we're sitting at somewhere between 25 and 40% of it flipped up.
Yeah, lit up. Yeah.
What are we sitting at home?
Oh, it's got to be 75. And
wait a minute. 75 flipped up?
75 flipped up. And by the way.
Wait. You think more people leave it up at home?
I do.
Than do at the company.
I think because kids are involved.
All right, forget the kids.
Okay, then no.
Same person. The same human being who would leave it up in the company kitchen.
In the company, it's more than at home.
Yeah, because they don't give a shit about the company. Where's that same person at the home?
At the home, he's down 10% from your office statistic.
You're really shitting all over my point.
I think it's less because I think at work he hates his job and doesn't give a shit.
Oh, it's definitely less at home because he fucking paid for the catch up.
That's right.
But how much less?
5%.
Okay. It's just 5% less, or it's at 5%?
It's 5% less.
So you think a guy who leaves it up at the office is barely more apt to close it at home?
Yes.
Why is there so little difference?
Because at the office and at home, because the same person, those caps are contingent on if you wipe the top of the surface of the ketchup bottle off to get the gooey crusted on part of the ketchup or the wood dough or whatever we're talking about. That's where people fail. They don't wipe off the lid or the hole around it. So when you do try and screw it back on or shut it, it doesn't close.
So you're saying across the board.
Yes.
If it's 30% popped up at work.
Yep.
It's only 35% popped up, or sorry,
25%
popped up at home.
Yeah.
I think there's a much bigger gap than that.
Where being more or less at home.
All right, I'm going to go into something.
What the hell are you talking about?
All right, Matt, will you explain to fucking what I'm talking about?
Let me tell you something. I'm in the middle of ISEE training for my fucking son to take the test to get into high school. So I've been looking at logic questions, and it freaked me out.
Well, nobody leaves it up more at home.
I got all sweaty when you were presenting this question. I'm terrified.
Sorry. You got to appreciate he committed to his answer.
He did commit to his answer.
I committed to it.
Okay.
I think they leave the thing up more at work because they don't give a shit about the work.
You're correct, Amundo.
That's what I mean. Now as
it's
far
not
as
5%.
Okay, 10. I'll give you 10.
Okay.
I think they'll do it the same at either place because they're assholes to begin with.
Assholes like their own shit.
Oh.
Do you think Rob leaves his wood stuff open at home?
Yes. I think it's across the board that they would
do it
at home.
It's across the board. I disagree. I think, look, there are people that do it right. They do it right at work. They do it right at home. They do it right, whatever.
Yeah.
People, by and large, so you think people treat rental cars almost exactly as the way they treat their car?
Good point. I think that they fuck up rental cars.
Why?
Because they don't care. It's not theirs.
Well, then why is there such a difference in the rental car market and not the accoutrement? Mark,
je m'appelle Adam.
Why so different?
Because people don't care about things that aren't theirs that they don't own because they know.
All right, I'm
going to
let you collect yourself.
Jesus, I'm all
collect
I'm
yourself.
I'm just pissed a little.
Just collect yourself. I'm going to let you regroup alone.
Well, what is your point? I don't understand your point.
My point is your point, which is you don't think they treat rental cars nearly as good as they treat their own cars.
Right.
Okay. I don't think they treat other people's ketchup and wood filler nearly as good as the stuff they pay for.
No, because I think the propensity for buying groceries and leaving shit unattended to is the same wherever you are. If it's an
item, then why wouldn't you treat the car the same?
Because it's a car, and it's somebody else's problem. You can hide.
But isn't the ketchup yours and your problem at home?
It's a small. The stakes are smaller. So you can be universally apathetic in both departments.
What about things like toilet seats, wiping up after yourself, that kind of stuff?
They'll leave a public restroom more messy with pee on the toilet seat versus at home you'll wipe it because if you don't, your wife hates you more than she already does.
All right. So you're saying rental car, durable good, big ticket item.
Correct.
Ketchup. Not a big ticket
item. You'll do it at home or at work.
The same.
Same thing.
I think people take care of their shit at home much better than they take care of work shit.
Speaking of toilets, by the way, I tried the Toto washlet at a place that I was working at for a couple of days, and I swear to God, it's the greatest experience of my entire life. I couldn't get out of the bathroom.
I literally just purchased a Toto wall mount unit.
It absolutely changed my life, and I can't go to the restroom at home without being disappointed.
I just put one in at my, I put a Mego in at my house. Anyway, you won't go back.
No.
You get one of those ass washers, you won't go back.
It's over.
Let me tell you something else you won't go back to. Once you get into Craftsman, Lowe's, new home of Craftsman, including their V20 cordless power tool lineup. One battery system works on multiple products, 2, 4, 6, and 8 tool combo kits available. All with the 2-amp high-capacity lithium battery that works with all the tools in the V20 lineup. Runtime, you need it. Power, you need it. V20, brushless tools available. They have the V-Max drill. They have the V-Max impact driver. I got to tell you, man, random orbital sander and impact driver. Those are the two tools that have changed my life in modern day tool history.
Craftsman shop vac, by the way.
Oh, well, that's
I love
always.
That.
That's
I love that.
Always.
I always buy those.
That's a mainstay.
Yep.
Proudly made in the US of A with Global Materials in Charlotte, North Carolina. For the latest Craftsman products and updates, go to Lowe's.com/Ace at Lowe's.com/Ace. All right, someone's got a kit from Home Depot, build a shed. Somebody tweeted me. I'll get into his kit in a second. Somebody tweeted me. They said they're making a closet. They said, I want to make this closet. I want to make it out of plywood. They said, I want to make it out of half-inch ply. I tweeted them back, and I said, half-inch is too light. Yeah. It's going to bend and shit. And also, half-inch ply is not half-inch ply.
It's that 31/23, whatever.
7/16.
Hate it.
Don't do it. I then said, use 3/4 multiply. Like, use like a euro, like a multiply. Don't do the edge, do the whatever. Somebody wrote back, how about MDF? I said, yeah, fine for paint grade. But I like the kind of cool euro-looking multiply.
You see the plies. That's beautiful look.
All right, let's talk to Dylan, 29, Minneapolis. Dylan.
Hey, Stromer, get it on.
What's going on?
I was calling the, like, I want to build a backyard storage shed, but I'm looking at these kits and stuff on, you know, Lowe's or Home Depot, and they're like $2,000 to $5,000 for a kit. And no assembly, that's just the kit. So I'm guessing the rafters are cut and all that done for you. Would it be more expensive, or is it worth paying that, or is it less if I just bought the materials? And then how much more effort goes into doing that?
Well, you know, kits normally, if you can find it, it's kind of like furniture at IKEA. You're going to save money. Okay. I had oral surgery yesterday. That's why my jaw is swollen, by the way. In case you want to know, Stromer.
What happened?
I had a tooth extracted and like a graft and a bone graft.
Really? And you're here and you're doing it?
I did two shows yesterday.
You hopped up on something?
No, I'm fine.
Jesus.
Got a high pain threshold.
Do you? That's fantastic.
I have a low tolerance for everybody, but I have a high pain threshold for myself.
That's right.
So the kits, if you can find the kit and do the kit, I tend to think the kit's a better way to go. But if you're good and you know what you're doing and you want some, you know, you have an idea, or you have a size that's different, or you need to fit it somewhere, or you just want a little satisfaction, or maybe you just want Lynette to walk by when you're done and go, oh, hey.
Where's the rake? It's in there.
We went to In-N-Out Burger. We didn't know if you wanted anything.
So anyway, we'll be eating.
Keep going.
Hey, you know, if you get a kit, get a wood based kit where you can amend the framing if you want to hang stuff, or, you know, somehow add insulation and drywall down the road and make it like a little tiny office. There's more upgrading when it's not acrylic or plastic, you know what I mean?
What's the base of the kit? Sorry, what's the floor? What's the base? Foundation, whatever. Well, pier blocks?
It looks to be a kit where you can either pour a slab or you could use pier blocks, but it is a wood-based, so mm-hmm. wood frames, and that's why I'm wondering if it's all just the materials and
yeah.
that price. Would it be cheaper just to buy them?
No, it'd be cheaper. It'd be cheaper to get the kit without labor, for sure.
I'd say I don't think you're going to save a lot of money in just buying like raw 2x6 floor joists and hangers and all that kind of shit. Also, it can be a tallish order if you're not pretty good.
Right.
I would say spend the money, go with the kit, and you do the pier block set up yourself. And the
right.
pier block is, you know, dig the holes, put in the decomposed granite or the gravel or whatever it is, tamp it down real good. Like, make sure you're dead nuts on with the pier blocks and then go pier block. Or are you thinking about slab? I don't know. I'm not wild about the slab.
Slab's a lot of work for you. It's a lot of work. Do the pier blocks because you want to get it up off the ground. It won't rot. If you're in an area where you are, you know, you're in Minneapolis, so you get freeze-thaw stuff, I think it's a good idea to get it off the ground.
Yeah, and also your head would explode if you knew how many sacks of concrete you got to mix up to do an 8x8, 4-inch thick slab. Like, you'd go, I'll get 10 sacks of concrete, and it's like 37 sacks of concrete. Like, you'd just be mixing that shit all day.
Yes.
Okay.
And if it's a wood frame, like you say, ultimately you could turn it into a foxy little men's room when you got to get out and get your own space. You know what I mean?
Right. So.
Yeah, I use just the whole backyard as the men's room.
Do the kit, do the pier blocks, and take it from there. And get yourself one of those VMAX Craftsman impact drivers, because I got the feeling. You may have like a cordless drill and you think you're going to be sinking a whole bunch of hex head screws with your cordless drill. Get the impact driver.
Yeah.
Much easier.
I will tell you, I did buy before they were advertising with you, but I'll go with the Craftsman random orbital sander.
Go with that. Yeah. And so before you get going on this thing.
Wait, is that the one that has the circle inside and then the bigger circle on the outside, so it's two concentric spinning?
The orbital sander?
Yeah. I had a Craftsman that had that set up.
I've never even seen that.
Yeah, I don't know if they still make it.
Hey, Dylan.
Yep.
Before you get going, you're going to be driving a lot of screws, right? Or hex head whatevers or whatever. Get your batteries, get your screw nut drivers, get your star drivers, get all that stuff lined out, get your magnetic cartridges, get everything lined out and just make sure you're just good and pumping on that.
Hey.
There's nothing worse than it's like, well, it's a number three tip, but right. I got a number two tip, but that'll work good enough.
Yeah.
No.
What about those spec screws? Have you used them?
Which are they?
They're called, SPE, they're German, and they sell like up to 6-inch star drive screws.
Oh.
With a built-on washer. They're badass.
You're talking about like timber screws.
They're called Spec is the brand.
Right.
But now
there's a whole new breed of like timber screws.
Yeah, and you can just drill through and get like 6-inch, 8-inch screws.
Yeah, I have used those.
Unbelievable. Love them.
I got it.
Hey, speaking of something I love, Tommy John.
Yeah.
It's the time of year to drop bad habits. Drop your old underwear and start 2019 right with Tommy John. You got them going,
right?
Yes. Look at that waistband.
I put a little even shot got of air talc down there.
Strangely, it smells like chicken.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Bros did
that. The most comfortable men's and women's underwear on the planet. Keeps you neat, nestled, and all in one place. That's right. Soft contour pouch that's to hold those family jewels comfortably. Stay put waistbands, soft moisture-wicking fabrics, and time-saving quick draw fly so you can get it out fast.
Mm-hmm.
The perfect solution for guys who constantly adjust. Plus, a life-changing women's line. This is fantastic. Women now have the ability to have the Tommy John product, loungewear for men and women, and the first ever stay-tucked dress shirt for men. Not only does Tommy John have a no-wedgie guarantee, they also have the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. Tommy John, Matt.
That's right. Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam right now for 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. Only at TommyJohn.com. TommyJohn.com.
I got to tell you, they are a must if you're working. Oh, man, God. You're up, you know, on your feet.
Because that's
working.
You know, even the copies talks about the swamp thing. There's no reason you have to have the swampy crotchal region.
You need that support.
You gotta have it.
All right, we got an email question over there.
Yes, we do. This first one is from Jeff in Corona, Ace and Stromerica.
Wow!
That could be my new company name.
So. Yeah. I'm buying this mountain house, and it's got tons of wood. It's an early 2000 build, but it has tons of ugly light oak. What can I do with the existing wood floors, paneling, and what should I replace the carpet with? My wife wants to paint the paneling, rip out the floors, and install wood tile.
Oh, man. I would paint the walls, but not the floor. I think the walls painted would look great in that space.
Here's what I have learned. I just found this out, or just sort of discovered this with my new house, my new kitchen, which is the kitchen had this sort of orangey brown sort of cork floor, and then it had like kind of a brown cabinetry, and then the walls were like sort of beigey, brownie, whatever, and the island was like brown, and it just looked like shit. And everyone was kind of talking about, like, what are you going to do? You got to change the island, got to change the countertops. You got to change it. All I did was get rid of this old cork floor and put in white 1x2 tiles, porcelain tiles, and all of a sudden it made, oh, well, there's a picture of the old kitchen, and it looks good, but it's too much brown and orange and orange and brown. And then I took white tile and I put the white tile down, and it immediately changed the complexion of the kitchen because then all of a sudden all the wood looked good instead of too much brown and too much orange. There's a, I don't know, I have a picture somewhere.
Now, what'd you do with the island? Did you change the island out?
The island makes me mad because the island is brown, and I don't know what kind of fuckstick puts a brown island in their modern house, but the island is not as easy to change out as one would imagine.
You're going to do the slab again?
At some point, I'm going to have to, but with the white floor, it actually made the rest of it sort of okay. Even the brown, fucking brown, goddamn brown island. Jesus, goddamn Christ. Anyway, what I've learned is that people come in and they go, oh, it's too much wood. It's too much wood. It's too much wood. Yeah. You got to change the floor. You got to change the crown molding. You got to change the door frames. You got to change the hearth. No, just change the floor. And I bet the other stuff looks pretty good.
Yeah, that might be.
So you'd be really surprised that if you take a neutral color, even a white or whatever, and you put it on the floor, then all the stuff that was bothering you about the too much wood on the cabinets and the wainscot or whatever it is, all of a sudden that gets nullified by now your floor that's not wood. So it's not the wood running into the wood.
Well, so maybe to your point, that's a good idea. Do the floor first and then reevaluate. But I got to tell you, I have in my bedroom where the lovely Mrs. Stromer and I fornicate on occasion, I have this beautiful lofted 15-foot ceiling that was wood, and for years I did not want to touch it because I thought, why would you paint wood out? But I finally painted it white. It completely changed the vibe of the room.
There's my kitchen now, and Gary, you can flip around and see some other shots there, but once we went with white on the floor, the picture we're showing is a little tough, Gary. Probably swing around.
They're all kind of tough. I'll show you the other angle.
Angle we were looking at, Gary, because it's a lot easier.
I can't
just
find
to
that angle.
Well, that's about it.
That's great looking tile, man.
Yeah, all we did was go with a white tile, and it kind of made everything else look better.
It really does.
Is what
you're
I'm
right.
saying. Even the shitty brown fucking island that some fucking maniac.
That's like Braunschweiger brown.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah. Anyway, and that ain't it.
Well,
why don't you just
pull the slab off? Just do the slab again.
The slab is over like 5 feet wide at some point. It has like a radius at the edge. It's got a drop-in cooktop, and then it turns at 90s and turns down into the floor. So, believe you me,
it's all brown.
I have contemplated going with like a white Caesar Stone Island, yeah. and I will, but for now, it's a big ass slab that's oversized and weirdly shaped and rounded, and it's not. I wish it was just a bathroom countertop that was 17 deep and 6 foot wide, and you just pop it off and slide the new one in.
I didn't realize it had the return down.
Oh, it's got a return down, and it's got this radiused end on it.
Were they like just thinking people were going to just spray juice all over the thing? I mean, why would you do that? Is that an architectural decision or a functional decision? Why would you do the vertical surface?
Well, the vertical surface is kind of a new trend where they take the island and they take the Caesar stone or whatever they're running on the island, and then they 45 each side, turn it and go down to the ground with it.
So it's monolithic looking.
It's some sort of nouveau whatever, which for me it just means more fucking shit to fix.
Got it.
Now, I just had this thought.
What?
The Caesar stone is 3/4 inch thick.
Right.
I could just put the shit on top of the old
shit.
You could
with adhesive, yeah.
It would kick the top up 3/4 inch, not the end of the world.
And the thick tops are in vogue now where it's really...
You'd have to definitely work your apron-y shit
and
around.
And you're tall and you could use a higher island. Then you don't have to bend down and cut the onion.
Half of it was just demoing out the old shit and seeing what the floor was like.
Just go over it.
I like where my head's at.
I like you. I think this whole tooth thing is making you have a whole other, you know, it's a
I got a new
paradigm.
Lease on life.
It's like ayahuasca almost, like an experience from a different paradigm.
The end is still weird because the end is like radiused and you'd have to get someone.
Can you square it off and not have the radius? Who cares about the radius? Do we care?
You'd want it. You see, if you look at the end of this picture I'm looking at here, if you look past the cooktop, you'll see it turns in. And
how about you go like octagonal?
I could do it. I could fabricate this shit.
All right.
I've done it before.
And you'll do
it again.
So you're saying when it goes down to the right, it just is straight down to the ground, brown.
Yeah.
But see, what's weird to me is there's no overhang.
No. I could do overhang.
Don't we want some stools in there on the side where you can watch?
Yeah, they go around. Speaking of stools, why'd they make it brown? Wouldn't have to fucking fix it. I got to fix everything, Stromer.
I know you do.
I know.
But that's what you're a fixer. What can you do?
We got one more email. What do we got?
Yeah, one more from Brendan in Port Angeles, Washington. Hey, guys, 30 years old and just bought our second house. I'll say it for you. Winner.
Winner. Mm-hmm.
My wife and I are in the middle of redoing our backyard patio and could use a little help with the stairs going down to the patio. Okay. I understand the basic concepts behind measuring the risers and treads, but could definitely use any tips you guys have. Also, I will have to put a ledger on the house below our slider. How do I do this the right way? Thanks for the help.
So we're looking at a picture of his backyard. I guess he's showing us a picture of the French doors, although I call them freedom doors, Stromer.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Freedom fries.
Looks like he's up 20 inches or so, right?
Yeah.
So when I open those doors, you want to have a landing, and then you want to go down.
Like a little tiny deck.
Yeah. Okay, so here's how stairs work. Let's say you've got a landing. And let's say that landing is 21 inches off the ground, right?
Right.
And you go, well, I want 3 stairs.
Right.
Well, then you go, each stair is going to be 7 inches high.
Right.
If the thing is 18 inches off the ground, then we'll do each stairs will be 6 inches high.
Right.
And then if the thing is, you know, 20 inches, maybe you'll just have 2 10-inch stairs,
right.
You know, like whatever, however it works out.
Right.
Keep in mind when you're doing the stairs, when you do the treads and you're going to put like 2x6 treads on the top for your outdoor stairs, that's going to kick you up.
Right.
So your first step is the ground.
Yeah.
And that's not getting any material put on top of it, right?
Right.
So when you're doing your calculations, your ground one has to be an inch and a half shorter, and then the other ones are all be the same because they have the top, the thing when you add.
Right.
Whatever it is, what I'm telling you is you're going to add to the landing, you're going to add to the first step, the tread, you're going to add to the second, but the bottom one you're not going to add to. That's going to be the cement.
Right.
So calculate according to that,
yeah,
to that.
That's right.
Okay.
And also, you know, the rises, if they're not close to the traditional seven, it's weird walking up and down.
Yes, it'll be weird.
Yeah.
The weirdest will be if they're not all the same.
Correct.
All right. And the next thing is with the risers, it's good to tilt back a little bit, like get it to go in, have a little pitch
right
on the riser.
Yeah.
The way people do them sometimes is they get those little brass stair finger turn nuts.
That's right.
And they put them on their framing square, and you stop it where you stop it, and it'll stop it on your stringer, and you put it at a little bit of an angle, and you got a little bit of a top angle, and then you have a little bit of a tread angle
right
for drainage or whatever.
That's right.
It can be tricky. There can be a little trial and error involved with it.
The other thing you could do is go to a big box store and buy one stringer that they sell, and then you can use that as a template to make your other, you know, your other
two. I guess
two.
They sell stringers
yeah,
now, right?
Yeah, they do, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you could cut off the bottom
right
if it didn't have the right amount of distance.
Don't do the chicken shit. I'm going to take 2x8s and put them in an angle and then put L brackets between.
Yeah.
You're not some artist living in some goddamn loft in the 80s in Soho.
That's right.
Hate fake stairs.
Fake stairs are bad.
Also, if you are going to do that and you're going to put it on the ground, I would say the wood on the ground, you know, first off, maybe that stringer should be something like redwood or pressure treated or something pressure treated or whatever.
Right.
I did this and I was putting it down on the concrete and I put a strip of bitumen.
Ooh.
That's right, bitumen.
Ew.
I took the adhesive rubber bitumen
right
and I just put it and curled it up the top.
Yes.
It's like, if this thing's going to be sitting on the concrete,
yeah.
I went on this pad of bitumen, bitch.
Yeah, bitches.
Yeah. So that's a nice little handy tip.
That great.
Make your landing, you know, come out as much as you need for your landing. But those, I think that about covers it. Use screws. Don't use nails.
Yeah.
Use the stainless steel stuff. You know, you can use a screw or a 16-penny nail that uses a spacer in between
right
your stuff. Check your wood, kind of side it, see if it's bowed, and put the high side up or whatever.
Yeah.
Little tricks like that. And you should be able to get it.
He can do this.
All right. What do you got?
I got Geico's what I got. Everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off dry cleaning, pick up some milk, eggs, bacon, whatever. How about save hundreds of dollars on car insurance and you don't have to drop off or pick up anything? Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. By the way, I got rear-ended by that lady. I still haven't called in the insurance claim, but I'm going to do it.
Is it your neck?
It doesn't expire, does it?
At some point.
I got to do it
soon. There's a statute of limitations,
okay.
I guess.
All right, go to geico.com. In 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket. That's right. The most rewarding to-do you can do today, geico.com.
All right, Gary, you can probably take the pictures down off the screen there. Base cable commentary coming up Thursday, January 24th. Irvine Improv with David Zucker. We're going to tear down an airplane. Do his movies, Zucker and Abrams, of course. He's done that, Police Squad and everything else. Then I'm doing stand-up on the road, Foxwoods Resort Casino. That's coming up on the 8th and then the 9th of February. Boston Wilbur Theater, beautiful big Boston Wilbur Theater over there. You can go to adamcarolla.com, check out all the dates, go to Chassis, see what's going on over there.
When you do those casino gigs, do they give you the room with the circular bed, like the king suite?
They give me like the big tub one.
Yeah.
I've never been in one.
You've
once.
Never?
Not once.
Do it.
No. You travel with me, I'll get in.
All right.
that much. It's sunken. And it's like in the living room. Like you'll fall in it if you're walking out drunk.
That's right.
All right. So until next time, I'm Carl for Eric Stromer saying mahalo.
Subscribe on iTunes or visit aceontheroof.com. This is Corolla Digital.
Stick around for the AP News.